Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Rod Peterson. Be sure to join Dupes and me in Houston, Texas, this December from the 5th to the 10th. I guarantee you we'll be checking in on the Texans and the Broncos on NFL Sunday, plus two live shows with all our football buddies, including George Cortez and Don Narcisse. If you've always wanted to see a college football game and it's on your bucket list, why not join us in Houston for a college football playoff game? We're waiting on the Houston Rockets NBA schedule, but if they're home, one of the hottest teams in the NBA will be part of the trip. Check us out now at rodpeterson.com/trip, and thanks to Uniglobe for putting it on.
From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Quiet on the set.
Paul's got stories.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. Paul's here. How can you tell? He just gave me a... He's in Paul's chair. Welcome to the show, everybody. The Rod Peterson Show, hour one of episode 57, coming to you from the bunker in sunny Western Canada. And indeed, we are before a live studio audience.
Yeah.
Yes, the sponsors' couch is full. And excitingly enough, we'll have actual sponsors in here later on today. Right now, it's Paul and Tyler and our intern, Connor, and DuPont just scurried into another room as soon as we went on the air. So, Rod Peterson here. DuPont will be joining us later on in the program. It's my distinct pleasure to welcome into the bunker Marshall Hamilton and Derek Myers. Marshall, of course, Rider Stamps, Ticats alum. Derek Myers, the Duke of Mydale, veteran sportscaster, and...
I've been blocked on Twitter by the Stampeders. That's as close as I've come to a CFL
team. I'm shocked I haven't.
Yeah.
I think for a period I have been, but they unblocked me. And your... hopeful candidate in the riding of Regina Northeast for the SAS party. How's that? No charge.
Thank you, sir.
Very busy show today. Yes, a lot of CFL, of course, because that's where we're cutting our teeth. And good morning to all the ballers that are watching around the world and particularly North America. The football guys say they're getting up in the morning, having their coffee, watching the show. Thanks for including us. And, of course, also to the fans of this program. Shout out to the Rod Squad. Be talking football with these guys. But also on the video chat today, I'm really looking forward to one in particular, Mr. Furious, number 56, David Benefield. He'll be joining us from Vancouver, which probably would have been more appropriate yesterday for the 56th episode of the show. He wore number 56. Remember the war paint and stuff? Yep. He was one of the first, I think, to wear it, if I'm not mistaken, in pro football. He'll be with D.A. Dwight Anderson. He'll be joining us from wherever D.A.'s hanging his hat these days.
Dude,
yeah, wait, stop it.
Ouch.
I'm glad you got it out of the way
too
now.
Too soon.
Too soon? 6 years later.
Yeah. Holy cow. Like to the day almost.
Acquitted, by the way.
Almost to the day.
Marco Iannuzzi, which you guys will be interested in this in your business backgrounds, because Marco is hoping, I believe the story is that he wants to be part of an ownership group to buy the BC Lions.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, from David Brayley. Get some local ownership out there, a bunch of local businessmen, and take over the BC Lions and make the Lions great again. And also Joey Alfieri from TSN Montreal. So that's a lot. That's a lot of CFL chatter today. Episode number 57. I got some number 57s written down. I love that Marshall just comes out of left field with his all the time. Silas McKinney, that rings in my head all the time.
Not this week.
Not this week, nope.
This week I'm not surprising anybody.
Well, you want to go first?
Well, Bob Poley's a great friend of mine, and him and I go back a long, long ways playing football together with the Rough Riders. Together we helped co-write a bunch of songs, put out a record album together. Just one of the greatest guys you'll ever meet, one of the funnest guys you'll ever meet, and the kind of guy that you can't, if you're having a bad day, run into Bob Poley. He'll make it a good day because he's just always got a smile on his face for everybody in the entire world. Great football player, great guy. I mean, there's lots of great 57s. I know we've seen some of them on our feed, but for me, Bob Poley.
He scares me, always. Every time he gives you a handshake, you feel like you're going to get your arm jerked right out of your socket. Because he's excited, he's happy, and he's just that old country strong. Like he's always been. So, yeah, I always tell him, I'm like, Paulie, just take it easy on me. I'm a little fragile. But, yeah, he is undoubtedly, he's one of those guys in lore. You know?
If he scares you now, let me tell you a quick story. Bob Pauly used to scare his kids all the time, not because of his size, but because he's missing a middle toe on one of his feet. And he tells his kids that when the dog ate his toe, and he says, if you're bad, I'm sicking the dog on you to get one of your toes. So you can just imagine the fear that was going through the minds of his kids when Bob Pauly tells that story.
Well, he's missing that toe, and he always says when he goes for a pedicure, he asks for a discount.
I haven't heard that story.
Anyway, sorry to cut off your...
It sounds like Bob.
Sorry to cut off your story.
No, that's the end of the story, but I'm just saying, man. If you're scared of him, there's more than one reason to be scared of Bobby. He's got a bit of a screw loose there, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All the good ones do. All the good ones do. Maybe we will call this Bob Pauly Day, honorary Bob Pauly Day here, because it's episode number 57. By the way, Trent's chiming in. Our Norwegian viewer from Norway, Trent, who's actually in Canada right now. He's in Canwood. He says he's finally back on Canadian time. He's got his inner clock just in time probably to go back to Norway. Yeah. By the way, just some other number 57s. Obviously, Brendan Labatt.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was ringing in my head last night thinking about show 57 and number 57s. Chad Hinds. You guys probably wouldn't remember that, but old-time dub hockey fans would. Chad Hinds of the Moose Jaw Warriors. It was Hinds 57, so it looked like Hinds 57 on his back.
Smart.
So that's for you out in Moose Jaw today. You guys remember Tom Jackson?
Yes.
NFLer and from the ESPN
Denver Broncos
Monday Night Countdown crew.
Right.
Tom Jackson was 57. Somebody has written in Mark Peronto. And you guys remember Mark Peronto. We caught a touchdown pass in the 2010 Grey Cup. Cracked the foot. Where'd my football go? Like it was a beer. Remember, I'm like, way to go, Peronto. Nice role model.
It was a great interview, though, because he was always, he was sharp. He was a really quick-witted guy. He was fun to interview.
And still is. Well, everybody
I'm sure
talks
he is.
Like they're dead,
wow.
Even though they're
once
not playing
once
football.
Once you retire, that's it, yeah.
But I do remember when I lost, and you guys didn't know me then, but I lost 80 pounds at one time in my life. And Peronto said to me, okay, now you lost the weight. I guess I can say it now. He goes, now I'll put you on a steroid program so you can look like us. And I said, who says I want to look like you? You guys all think I want to look like a big football behemoth. I don't want to. I'm happy with the weight loss. That's my Mark Peronto thing. So anyways, before we go any further into the CFL chat, Marshall, there was one thing that you wanted to mention today.
Yeah.
And let's do that.
I mean, I know this is a sports program and this has a sports theme, a small sports theme too. And I know we got visitors from Norway and other countries and all around Canada, but this is a rural Saskatchewan story that I want to share. I wasn't on yesterday's program. I'm usually on Tuesdays because I went to a funeral and it was my wife's uncle, a guy named Joe Frank, lives in Saudi, farmer for many, many years, father of six children and 14 grandchildren. But what was special about it, I mean, the funeral itself was very, very nice, et cetera. But when the funeral was over, there was a procession of about 30 cars that drove with flashers on down the highway, on Highway 6 from Saudi to the farm, which is about 8 miles south of Saudi. We were part of this procession. There's so many noteworthy things about this. There were people driving down Highway 6 that just pulled over, and I didn't really think about it. They pulled over out of respect for these 30 cars in this mm-hmm. procession. And it was so Saskatchewan. It was so rural Saskatchewan to see these cars pull over to pay their respects for somebody that they didn't even know. Then after we pull off the highway, we're driving a few miles to get to the farmyard. We did a drive through this guy's farmyard, which was, you know, that was the first time I got tears in my eyes. And then we went from there to the cemetery. As we were going to the cemetery, we went by one of his son has taken over the farm. We went by one of the fields. In the field were 6 combines, 2 tractor trailers full of grain, a couple of grain hoppers, et cetera. So there's about 9 vehicles all lined up facing the road. The drivers were standing on top of their combines with their hats over their hearts.
Jeez.
I'm choking
up like
this. I've
never seen that.
This was like a military salute from the farming community to this guy as we drove into the funeral. Then we drive into the cemetery, and of course, his dog gets brought in, Rex, the dog that he died with, And then one of his granddaughters sings a song. Like, just there was just multiple occasions where I'm tearing up. You know, thankfully I had sunglasses on because it was sunny out. But it was just such a memorable day. You know, to celebrate the life of a guy, you know, farm guy, here's back to the sports theme, you know, season ticket holder for 45 years with the Rough Riders. And just to see the celebration in rural Saskatchewan and how special that was.
Who was
so? It just made me so proud to be from Saskatchewan.
Well, it reminds me of the it was a gentleman that passed a couple of years back, a milestone,
Brian Williams,
and the whole community came out and you know pulled the crop off. It reminds me of that where everybody just drops what they're doing to help out or to pay homage or to do it. It is you're right that is so Saskatchewan.
To see those guys standing on the combine with their hats incredible. Over their heart. I mean, just I don't know if anybody drove by there without crying.
Yeah.
Well, it's a distinct society. It's not for everybody, as we know. The people move from the big standards here, and they're like, what did I get in the middle of? Well, it is a distinct society. It reminds me of the theme, the slogan for the state of Nebraska this summer. They put up signs. It says, Nebraska, honestly, it's not for everybody. That's as you're driving in. I keep thinking Saskatchewan might want to change there because it's a distinct system. But you know what? So is BC. So is Quebec. That's what's great about the country is it's all its own little thing.
I'm sure there will be people in Saskatchewan that heard what I just said. They'll go, well, I don't really get that. But there'll be a whole bunch of people sitting on their combines right now listening that'll go, right on. We get that.
Well, but kind of reminds me of the Humble Broncos thing with the guys putting the sticks out. Well, everybody did around the world. I won't say what the demographic was, but a lot of people said to me, what is that all about? I don't understand. I'm like, if you don't understand, then I could never explain it to you. Yeah. So either put your stick out or don't.
But the rest of us got it.
I will say this. I've been doing a lot of door knocking in Regina Northeast. There are still a number of houses with their sticks out. Yeah. People still, they just, you know what, if it's a reminder to them or a reminder to people that come to their house, but every time I walk up to a house to knock on the door and there's a couple of sticks sitting out there and they're getting pretty weathered now. I mean, you know, they've been out there for, you know, a year and a half. But it makes you, it reminds you of the horrible situation that happened last April, and you still remember it. And I still see a lot of sticks out there. And again, such a Saskatchewan thing. People don't, you know, they don't want to forget it. They want to keep the legacy of those young men and that young lady alive.
Which is great, but also as we have training camps opening up here shortly in junior hockey, Humboldt does want to move on. They appreciate all of that support, but you know what? Those folks will never be forgotten, but they do need to move on. So awesome story. People are writing in on the Facebook wall. You see that, Marshall. Great chair, Marshall, from my buddy Al Kruger watching out in Vancouver this morning. People continue. Wayne in Victoria, BC. Yeah, he's a Midale Mustang.
He's a Midale guy.
Al Kruger from Vancouver, originally from Midale, trained me at CFSL Radio in Weyburn. So if you want to blame anybody for how I turned out, blame him, not me. Joe Lazito, on a completely flip side story, he's watching from New York City this morning regarding number 57s, and he says, Lorenzo Alexander of the Buffalo Bills.
Whoa. Okay.
So, there's a lot of 57s. When you think about it, there would be a lot of 57s that would come in.
Well, every team will have a number 57 on their offensive line, almost guaranteed.
Right. And the thing is, were they memorable or not?
Yeah. And some play for one game, some play for 1 year, some play for a career, and that's why I voted for Bob Pulley.
Right. Well,
number 61 next week will be Brett Jones Day with the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, Abu Metric seems to think
that if
we're going to acknowledge past jersey numbers that these guys need to be Hall of Famers, and I'm like, no, they don't. No, who's making the rules here? Definitely not a boo. This is the warm-up. We got a lot of guys to get to today, so I will take a timeout other than to say today's poll question for Universal Collision Center Capital Auto Mall is, which is Canada's game of the week in the CFL? And this is a waste of a poll question almost because it's so simple.
It'll be a landslide, won't it?
Friday night. The week opens with Winnipeg at Edmonton. There's a Saturday doubleheader with Ottawa at Saskatchewan, Hamilton at BC. And then Sunday, it's Montreal at Toronto in Touchdown Atlantic in Moncton. And that's the vote. Clark's already put it up on our website where you can vote. 70.6% of respondents are saying, what do you think, guys?
Winnipeg, Edmonton.
Yeah.
Really?
Battle of... Yeah, you didn't think so?
No.
It's a no-doubter. What did you think it would
Ottawa,
be?
Ottawa, Saskatchewan. I thought for sure our viewers would be frothing at the mouth
not
because it's
even,
been a bye week.
Not even
wow.
close.
That surprises me.
That's the Saskatchewan people, though. That's the. I mean, if you look at the country's going to look at that, and they're going to say Winnipeg, Edmonton's the game of the week, unless you have a sentimental, you know, for right. the game played in the Maritimes.
But yeah. clearly nobody does because it's 100% of the vote saying Ottawa at Saskatchewan and hash marks beside Hamilton at BC and Montreal at Toronto. So that's the poll question throughout the day. We'll take a timeout. This has been the warm-up. It's episode 57. Canada's most watched Facebook live show is The Rod Peterson Show. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Employee pricing is back.
You pay what we pay with savings up to 19 grand on a 2019 F-150 Supercrew 4x4. And we got them starting at just $34,999 plus tax. Our new 2019 Ford Escapes are starting from just $24,999 plus tax. And you can save 6 grand on remaining 2019 Ford Explorers. Plus, most purchases qualify for $1,000 trade-in bonus cash.
You pay what we pay!
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Maybach and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rob.
Hey, we're back. Thank you, Clark. Thank you, Rick Regan, the big voice guy. I have news. Two more people signing up for the inaugural Rod Peterson sports trip to Houston, Texas, the inaugural VIP sports trip. Welcome, Amy and Kurt Ryan. We'll be seeing you down in Houston, Texas. Come on down to Houston. We'll be watching the Texans and the Denver Broncos, as well as two NBA games.
Oh, you got a couple.
The Suns and the Rockets.
The schedule fell in your favor.
That's right. Good. James Harden, Russell Westbrook. The super team out of Houston taking on the Phoenix Suns. And in another game, the Sacramento Kings going to be there taking on the Houston Rockets. Two live shows. George Cortez has confirmed his attendance. Don Narcisse has confirmed his attendance for shows just like this. And we're working on Terry Poole. Wouldn't that be cool, Marshall?
Yeah.
Pride of Melville.
Former Houston Astro from Melville.
That's right. Wednesday morning sports update, a lopsided loss for the Blue Jays in L.A. last night. Jock Peterson hit his 25th homer of the season, and four other Dodgers went deep as L.A. thumped Toronto 16-3 last night. Blue Jays rookie Bo Bichette had a good game with two solo homers off Clayton Kershaw. Sean Reed Foley pitched just 1 2/3 innings and shouldered the loss. Matt Olson and Mark Canna hit back-to-back homers in the first inning to lead the Oakland A's over the Yankees 6-2 for their fifth win in six games. Olson connected on a two-run shot for his 26th homer, and Canna followed with his 19th on a drive to right center. So right now, that's really all that's going on in sports, as far as I'm concerned, pro football and baseball. And on that vein, we're going out on the video chat this morning with our first of many guests on the Rod Peterson Show this morning from TSN 690, Joey Alfieri joining us. He is on the Alouettes broadcast. I enjoy him immensely on there. Bonjour, bon matin, Joey. How are things?
Hey, Rod. Thanks for having me. Do you need somebody to fetch you some coffee while you're on the set in Houston?
Yeah. Are you offering? I think it would be a lot of fun. Yes.
I'm offering my services.
Joey Cafe. That's awesome. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Our first ever trip down there. Joey, I bet. I'm going to start right here. I bet it's a lot more fun covering the Montreal Alouettes these days than, about 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can even go back in the last 5 years. It's been a lot more fun this year. I was expecting a little bit more from them. I picked them before the season to finish in second place in the East. And, I half believed the content that I was spewing there. But to see the way the team has come out with attitude and with desire and with just that hunger to win, it's been something to see. And I've been beating this drum, but it's even more impressive when you consider the fact that they have no owner, they have no general manager, and they have an interim head coach. So they've really embraced that underdog role, and it's really been a lot of fun to cover. I mean, they're 4-4 right now. With a little bit of luck, they're 5-3. And if Mother Nature, you know, cooperates a couple weeks ago, I know you might not like hearing this, but they might be 6-2.
Well, okay, so there's a can of worms right there. But, you know, it's funny you say interim Kahari Jones. Reminds me of Craig Berube. They're introducing him in the rink in St. Louis in Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final, and interim head coach Craig Berube. I'm like, he's got him all the way to the Stanley Cup. Take interim off. Kahari Jones has to be the head coach, because from what I see, Joey, and tell me if I'm wrong, he's the reason for the resurgence of the Alouettes and the restoring of credibility to the franchise. Or have I misread it?
No, I think you're definitely on. You're on the right track there. I think he deserves a lot of credit for the success that the offense and that Vernon Adams has had in particular. He's brought a presence. The guys clearly relate to him. They want to go to battle with him, for him. But let's also, I mean, I know this isn't quote unquote cool in CFL circles, but you got to give Cavis Reed some love. I realize that it didn't end, you know, the way he wanted it to here, but he's the one who built this team. He's the one who put the team together. The fact that they went out and got themselves winners, Taylor Loeffler, Patrick Levels, Siante Evans, Tommy Campbell a couple years ago, I mean, he put this team together. So whether you want to give him the credit or not, I know a lot of people in Montreal don't. People have to acknowledge the fact that, yes, he's long gone, but he's the one who put this thing together as well. And so he deserves some credit. But, I mean, you've hit the nail on the head with Kahari Jones. I think if Mike Sherman is still the head coach, and I don't, you know, I say this with all due respect, but if Sherman's the head coach, I don't think this team is 4-4 through 8 games.
It's Marshall here. Just a comment on Kahari Jones, and then you can comment on it afterwards. I mean, if they don't make him the head coach by the end of this year, we're going to see the first time an interim coach is the coach of the year in the Canadian Football League. He's the reason, the biggest reason, in my view, why they've turned that thing around. And John Bowman, I think, is acting like a defensive coordinator out there as well, and he's playing a remarkable season. That whole team just seems to reflect Kahari Jones, just their demeanor. You don't see people over celebrating touchdowns. You don't see people, you know, doing antics in front of the camera. You see a very mature, calm, hardworking, I'm going to get this thing done attitude from that Montreal team. They're a good football team, and I think Kahari Jones deserves the credit for most of it.
Yeah, definitely. But I think the tricky thing is, I mean, I'm with you. I think Kahari Jones should be, you know, the head coach of this football team beyond this season. But it's just, you never know. New owner brings in his general manager, and then the general manager might be forced into keeping Kahari Jones, just, you know, based on how well they've done so far. If he finished strong, it would be tough to remove him from there. But I'm with you. I think Kahari Jones deserves a lot of credit. Bob Sloik, defensive coordinator, deserves a ton of credit too, because the first couple of weeks, everybody was on him about, you know, the way the defense had performed. Week one against Edmonton, they gave up over 600 yards of offense, and the numbers just continued to dwindle and dwindle and dwindle every single week. So he deserves some credit as well. But I like the attitude of this team. And I think the coaching staff led by Kahari Jones has a lot to do with it. I know people in Calgary aren't going to be thrilled to hear this, but the way that game, you know, even just pregame, the fight that happened before the game, I like that. For a team that's been bad for the most part over the last 5 years, you haven't won in McMahon Stadium in a decade. You go in there and you're not going to take crap from anybody. You know, if somebody wants to mouth off to you, you'll take a swing. You'll punch, you'll get punched, and you're not going to back down from anybody. And I think that's big for the psyche of what the Alouettes want to do and what they want to accomplish this year. I think that's big, is that, you know, they send a message to the CFL that we're not going to take crap from anybody. You want to get in our face? Well, get ready to be hit in the mouth figuratively and literally, because we're not going to take it from anybody. And I think that was big. I really do. The stuff that happened pregame, I'm not sure – you know, Tommy Campbell and Jarner Jones should have been allowed to play in that game, but they definitely sent the message. There's no doubt about that.
Joey, it's Derek here. Rightfully so, a lot of the attention is on the field right now because the team is playing very well. But I'm curious, where are we at with ownership, possibility of anybody coming in and getting this team and buying it back from the league?
Yeah, I have no idea. Like, I've heard, you know, a lot of the same things, you know, that have been reported over the last, you know, few months. Yeah. I heard all those things, and you hear a bunch of things now. But just, you know, with the way this thing is unfolded, I'm not sure what they're waiting for. I really have no idea. Unless the commissioner absolutely wants to wait for the end of the season, there's just I can't understand the way this is all unfolded. You know, as of a couple of weeks ago, there's the Lankov brothers who were serious contenders. They were, you know, at Molson Stadium. They live in Los Angeles now, but they were at Molson Stadium taking pictures in the locker room and on the field with players after the game, you know, interacting with players, wearing the Alouettes colors. And, you know, all of a sudden their exclusivity window ends up coming and going, and you haven't heard much from them since then. So I have no idea where we're at with the ownership situation. I guess the league isn't in a hurry, but yeah, I mean, I wish I had a better answer for you, but I can't understand the thought process right now from a league perspective. Why wouldn't you want to get this thing settled as quickly as possible to make sure that you shore up the ownership situation in one of the, you know, the big three cities in the country? I'm not sure why they haven't, you know, pushed a little harder to get this thing done, but there's been plenty of names that have come and gone in terms of potential ownership, and it hasn't happened. So I don't know if it's going to happen before November. I'm really curious to see the way this thing plays out.
TSN 690's Joey Alfieri with us from Montreal this morning on the video chat. Joey, you opened with the rain game, the weather protocol. Obviously, we have our side of it out here. What was it like in Montreal with the Alouettes fans and even that night, the confusion and so forth?
Yeah, I thought, Rod, there was no way. I'm not in the booth. I'm on the sideline for that game. So I'm getting pelted with rain if we keep going in the rain. So, you know, I don't mind any of that. But it just, in my mind, I just couldn't understand how, you know, the 1 hour time limit is a hard and fast rule. Like, you know, I think if you look at it and you see, you know, you project ahead in the next, you know, 15 minutes to 20 minutes. If after an hour 15, you know, the there's not going to be any lightning, there's not going to be any thunder, I don't understand how you don't keep playing that game. I think, you know, as much as you want the rules to be black and white, I think there's got to be some gray area when it comes to that rule. And I'd be saying that if Saskatchewan was on the losing end, and I'd be saying that, you know, I'm saying this now that Montreal came out on the losing end. But it's just, you've seen this season and you saw last week that so much can happen in such a short amount of time. You know, the Alouettes down 11 points with a minute 40 left in Calgary. They come back to win. Now they're down 7 points at home against Saskatchewan with 18 minutes left, and they don't get a chance to close that thing out. I mean, I think it's just, it's another black eye for the CFL, and it's something that they're going to have to look at, because all the people I spoke to involved with the Players Association said the rule was not applied correctly. Now, I've seen how it's written in the rule book, and from what I'm told, that's not the way the players understood it during negotiations. So it's definitely something that I don't think you can change now, but looking ahead into the offseason, it's something that just can't happen again. You know, if I was, you know, obviously being in the city, once I'm out of the stadium and game's over, I'm looking around and it's hardly raining. I haven't seen any lightning for a while. So I think it can't be 1 hour, you know, a hard, fast rule. And I understand the player safety aspect of it, but, you know, it basically, if there's more than 7.5 minutes left in the third quarter, you can wait 3 hours to resume this game. But because there's less than 7:30 left in the third quarter, you only wait an hour. The player safety aspect of it doesn't hold water to me. I think it's something they have to look at this winter.
That's something that I'll dive into with these two guys when we're done with you. The last one I have for you, Joey, is Touchdown Atlantic Sunday. Alouettes Argos there. I can't wait. I'll be there in Moncton for it. Should be interesting. What's your take on the game, and will we see you there?
I'm not going to be there. And I heard what you guys said, you know, your poll question about the game of the week. I think the Alouettes are must-see TV right now. You don't know what you're going to get. The rain delays, comebacks, double overtime. They've gone to overtime a couple of times this year. Return touchdowns for, return touchdowns against. I think the Owls are must-see TV. And look, The Argonauts are definitely better than they were at the beginning of the season, but this is a game that Montreal has to win. And just with their overall attitude and the way they've approached this year, I really don't think the Isles are one of those teams that's going to take anybody lightly. Like, I really can't see that happening. I think, you know, whether or not Will Standback is going to be available to play, he's missed the last two games. I think that's going to be big for the Alouettes if he can play. But still, I think they showed on Saturday night that Jeremiah Johnson can still handle the workload, even, you know, at 32 years old. So I'm expecting the Alouettes to pick up where they left off. And at the same time, you know, I know they want to look at one game at a time, but this is a critical two-game stretch where you're playing in Moncton against the Argonauts and you're playing at home after the bye week next week against a BC Lions team that struggled as well. So your next two opponents have a combined record of 2-15. And good teams do not lose these two games. So we have to see, you know, what the Alouettes, you know, come out with. But I'm confident that they're going to be able to get the job done. I don't think that there's going to be any letdown after that big emotional win. I think this is a team that's just too hungry. And I don't think Kahari Jones is going to let them take their foot off the pedal.
Should be a lot of fun. Joey, appreciate the time. You do a great job out there. Keep it up. And we'll chat with you in the fall.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Joey Alfieri, TSN 690 Montreal. Tune into the Alouettes broadcast and you'll hear him on there with Rick Moffitt and Marc-Olivier Brulette, the newest color man in the CFL. Guys, on the weather protocol, it's been 2 weeks and people are still talking about it. So who wants to take it first? You just got Montreal's side. Does that hold water, pardon the pun?
Yeah, in my view, it does. I mean, I'm more on Montreal's side on this than the Rider side. I mean, even as a Rider fan, am I happy we won that game? Only marginally, because I'd like to see the game finish. And it doesn't matter what sport you're playing. It doesn't matter what the weather is. I think you play till you're done. Now, I understand why there's a protocol, but if you had asked me before that game, should a game be delayed for an hour, you know, at that point in the game, should they cancel it? I would have went, an hour? Like, where's that one coming from? I mean, I've been a player. I know what it's like to sit in the locker room with some bumps and bruises and maybe something starting to swell up or something like that. But the majority of players are saying, let's finish this damn game. I don't care what the weather is. So I would bet my left arm that they will change that rule in the offseason. Now, it's not going to get up to 3 hours, but it's not going to be as short as 1 hour. So I have a lot of sympathy for the Montreal fans. I'm not saying that Montreal would have come back and beat Saskatchewan that game. You know, in my view, I mean, the Montreal we saw against Calgary, you go, I wonder.
Sure.
But the Montreal we saw prior to that game, we would have said, no, I think Saskatchewan's going to take this one away with a 10, 12, 15-point win. But that rule does need to change.
100%. The rule needs to change, but it is the rule now. So whether True. It's right or wrong, that's what was, and they, you know, you can interpret, and I know Joey says, you know, it was maybe applied incorrectly. That's the way the rule is laid out now. Is it correct? No, I don't think so either. 1 hour certainly doesn't seem like enough. And literally, if it was 7:31 left on the clock or 7:29 left on the clock, 2 seconds difference, you know,
two hours difference.
Yeah, you can wait 2 hours difference. So, I mean, yes, I think the rule needs to be tweaked, but as it is applied right now, that was the correct ruling. And secondly, no way in hell Montreal's coming back in that game. I agree with you totally, Marshall. No Vernon Adams. They had no traction. I think they had something like 90 yards through almost three quarters of play. Their offense was non-existent, yeah. Save for one return touchdown where Bennett was held brutally on that the officials missed it. It shouldn't have even been a touchdown. Should have been called back. They weren't scoring any points. Yeah. And it was, I feel like, you know, over a matter of time, I know the Riders' offense was not getting much done, but you just feel like over a matter of time, they were going to wear down that Montreal defense and put some points on the board. History would state, you know, the way the Riders' offense has been clicking this year, that they were going to put up some points, and I just can't see Montreal. So, yeah, was it kind of a fumble? Sure, but I think the outcome was inevitable, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think just one more comment on that that we haven't suggested yet, and that is the biggest issue that we haven't talked about is communication. It's like, and I've gone through this so many times over the course of my career, and my non-football career, and that is that people can take a lot of what if you give them some why. And they haven't, the public was not told about the rule prior to the game or prior to the season. They weren't told why there's a rule in place. It was all sort of after the fact, we have this rule, and and here's the reasons why we have that rule. And everybody, by then, you got everybody going, what?
Well, the broadcast crews, the same thing. They were kind of like, what's going on?
Yeah, no. They told us all this at the beginning of the season. reason, if you had communicated the strategy and the reasons for it, people would have accepted it way, way easier than if you'd try to do it after the fact when you're playing defense.
That's a great line. They'll take a lot of what with a little bit of why?
Yeah, people can take a lot of what if you give them a little bit of why.
Like that a Marshallism?
No, I borrowed that from a colleague, Oliver Pascoe, I used to work with in HR. But
it's a good one.
I've repeated it many, many times.
We will pause on the way today. David Benefield, Dwight Anderson, Marco Iannuzzi. So a lot of CFL chatter today and good stuff from the Facebook wall. Nelson watching this morning. He says, honestly, the CFL is must-see TV for the first time in 3 to 5 seasons. All these young quarterbacks and special teams returners creating a lot of buzz and parody in the league. You're right. I hope that the TV ratings reflect that. Sooner than later. I haven't seen TV ratings lately. I mean, I'm with you, Marshall. We watch all the games anyways, so hey.
They haven't released any. Nobody's posted any TV ratings last month.
Well,
it's frustrating.
They say that the season unofficially starts at Labor Day. Did you ever hear that?
Yes, I do, but...
Can you imagine? You've sure missed a lot if that's when you're tuning in. Yeah. Anyways, we'll pause. You are watching The Rod Peterson Show, Canada's most watched Facebook live show, and listen live at rodpeterson.com. Catch our podcasts at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody, on a Wednesday morning. Rod Peterson Show having a great CFL discussion today. I laugh when people say, what are you going to talk about when football's over? Just wait.
Is it ever over?
Football's never over.
No, it's never over, A. And B, hockey's my mother tongue, so just hang on. Lots coming. I always say I'm fluent in Canada's two official languages, hockey and football. So just wait. But it's CFL time of year now. Mind you, Wednesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Regina's newest entertainment destination, the Dodgers scored 5 runs in the 3rd inning and didn't stop there, en route to thrashing the Blue Jays 16-3 last night. The lone bright spot for Toronto was rookie Bo Bichette, who hit 2 solo homers off Dodgers ace Clayton Kershaw. The teams are back at it for the second game of a 3-game set tonight. The Blue Jays have yet to name their starter. Walker Buehler goes for Los Angeles.
Buehler.
Yeah, Walker Buehler.
Walker Buehler's
his brother.
Anyone?
Oh, they're telling me David Benefield, we had him and then we lost him. Some connection problems out there on the West Coast. So I'll continue on my sports update and then we'll get to the surging Mets continue an interleague home series against Cleveland tonight with former Jays pitcher Marcus Stroman taking the hill for New York. The Mets improved to 25-10 since the All-Star break with a win last night in the series opener. Stroman 1-0. Through 3 starts since joining New York at the trade deadline last month. The Houston Astros will look to extend their win streak to 4 straight as they continue a 4-game home series against Detroit. Houston sends ace Justin Verlander to the hill. Verlander 15-4 on the season with a 2.81 ERA. That's second best in the American League.
Man, he never gets old.
No, he just keeps going and going and going. Hell of a pitcher. Hall of Famer for sure. And by the way, as we await David Benefield, I'm glad that you guys in the break, you got going on the Calgary-Montreal game and the overtime call and the video review. You have some thoughts on that, how the game ended.
Just even the touchdown at the end of regulation, the sneak in by Vernon Adams. Like, I never saw a definitive view that looked like he got in. It took the official a long time on the field to make up his mind, and then finally a signal touchdown. Like, it was that, as Rod used to call it, that pregnant pause. And I think sometimes, and I don't blame the officials for this, but on a play like that, you just kind of defer to, we'll call it a score, and that is automatically reviewed. We don't have to, the coaches throw a challenge flag or anything. So I think that's kind of a safety net, especially on a play like that. And I could see either way. I could see Montreal people saying, "Oh yeah, you could see he's in." I could see Calgary people being upset. And it was just one of those kind of, once again, kind of ambiguous spots, a very crucial point in a game. And I'm not here to say if he was in or not, because I honestly still don't know if he was in or not. And then, yeah, of course, you get the feet in the end zone. I kind of feel a little bit, and I know people are going to jump on me, I feel a little bit for the coaches in that one, including Dave Dickinson. You know, he's just kind of throwing his hands up in the air and going, like, I don't really know.
Yeah, that was one of the longest pauses, if that's a pregnant pause, that I've ever seen watching referees decide, is that guy in or is he not?
Yeah.
And I do think, you asked off the air, you know, do referees really have time to think that through? I think, you know, yeah, they do, because even prior to the game, prior to the season, they're thinking, when in doubt, on the goal line, I'm going to call it a touchdown because I know I've got the backstop of the video review coming in.
Yes.
So I think they do have the time. I'm not saying that they will go, well, yeah, everything's a touchdown, I'm just going to raise my arms every single time. But if I'm in doubt, I'm going to put my arms
up. It's kind
of
a human nature thing.
Well, they'll review it upstairs, and they get a chance to see it in super slow motion. They get to see it for 5 minutes or whatever it takes. And I only got like 10 seconds here to make a call, so I'll err on the side of that. So I think the referees do. But off that topic for a second, and I don't feel sorry for Dave Dickinson, but Calgary Stampeders they created their own demise.
Right.
When you're up by 11 points in the Canadian Football 100%. League, and you've got a minute and 40 left on the clock, you got to get that thing finished.
Yes.
Now, Montreal deserves a lot of credit for coming back, but Calgary, you had your chance. So it was great for the CFL. It was a great football game to watch, and Montreal deserved to win that football game. But Calgary had that one in the bag and let it go.
Similar to Hamilton here. I mean, Hamilton had a chance to put it away. Riders defense comes out, 2 and out.
Yep.
They go down the field. Hamilton had a chance on first down, you know, to make a big stop. They didn't get it done. William Powell actually, you know, that was the play of the game almost, where he turns a 5-yard loss into about a 3-yard gain. It allows Cody Fajardo to run around the end. They don't call that play with Fajardo if Hamilton makes that stop. So you're right. You mean you have opportunities, and I think you went on about it the other day, Rod. You know, don't blame the officials. I mean, you had this. I can't remember exactly how you framed it much nicer than I am right now. But you basically said you got yourself to blame, Ken.
I said don't let the game, don't leave the game in the hands of the officials. Now,
and they kind of did.
It's funny because Mike McCullough, who's such an outstanding analyst and outstanding person, we've had a lot of these talks about this just privately, And he said, if you don't ever let anybody say that a game doesn't come down to one play, because I'll point to the 2009 Grey Cup, because it did.
Yep.
And yes, you can't blame the officials there either, however, because you had 13 men on the field. There's nobody that you could point to and say, you screwed us on that, but it was all you. So you can't even blame the officials there. Did it come down to one play? Yes, but it was your own fault. And with Calgary, I just wonder, guys, Dave Dickinson, right after the game, was ripping the CFL, saying he doesn't know what the rules are. He's got to sit down with Huff. They wanted to talk to Toronto. And the point is, the game's actually come down to 3, 4, or 5 plays.
Yeah. Yeah, that
not that one. And that's the point. And by the way, had he caught the touchdown, you still only got a tie game. You still got to convert on the two-point conversion to win the game.
Yeah.
So it's not the officials that cost you.
No.
So he, what was he most upset with? The Calgary touchdown that wasn't called a touchdown because he was or wasn't inbounds?
I believe he was
my feeling.
He believed that he was in.
Yeah, that was
and
that
they
was my
he's looking at his iPad, looking at the exact same thing they're looking at in Toronto, and he's going, he's in. That's my guess.
Of course, we all look at things through different colored glasses.
But in defense of the league, he's looking at an iPad. They're probably looking at a 60-inch television screen with much higher definition than a little old iPad. And, you know, I give them, well, I'm not saying they made the right call or the wrong call, but they've got better technology in Toronto. They are supposedly not biased. I mean, if you're the head coach of the team that loses the challenge, guess what? You're biased. So is the team on the other side of the field that wants it to be a challenge. But it's the neutral person on a big screen TV with all the technology that has to make the call. So I think the league got it right.
My favorite conspiracy theory out of this one, and I never even thought of it, was what team won? Well, who owns that team? The CFL owns Montreal. Oh, and I was like, oh my goodness, wow.
I'm not buying that.
And there was four shooters on the grassy knoll as well. Like that was, I like a good conspiracy theory, but that one that one stretched the limits for me.
Tinfoil hat stuff.
Yes, it is.
By the way, we have not spent enough time. Our analytics show us that Winnipeg is the third highest city for viewing of the Rod Peterson Show. Regina, Saskatoon are neck and neck for 1 and 2, and then it's Winnipeg. So they go into Edmonton Friday night. As we've learned from our poll respondents, that is Canada's game of the week in the CFL. They got Chris Trebler going in up against maybe the CFL's best defense. Guys, to the Bombers, is their season over like so many of their fans have thought? Marshall's already shaking his head no.
No, they're still, in my view, one of the top three teams in the Canadian Football League. They were the top team in the league before Matt Nichols got hurt. They're certainly the top team in the league before they went on their two-game losing streak. But that is still a very, very good football team. And the only thing that makes them not a great football team is the fact that Matt Nichols is out. Now, Chris Trebler, I've been talking highly about him for the last year and a half, so I'm excited to see him play. But Edmonton's a good, good football team. So this is going to be, I think, the game of the week. With all due respect to the other six teams that are playing this weekend, including the Rough Riders. But this is a really good Winnipeg Blue Bomber team that will get Matt Nichols back at some point this season. If we think they're not going to make the playoffs, give your head a shake. So it's not the team that's in first place at game 6 or game 12 of the season. It's the team that gets the hottest into the, or that's playing the best and the hottest at the right time of year, which is as we get into the playoff season. So Winnipeg's going to be in the mix. Their season is not over.
My only concern for the Bombers would be how much of the load does Andrew Harris have to shoulder here over the next 6 weeks? And where does that leave Andrew Harris in weeks 20, 21, 22? He's not a young guy anymore. Now, he is not showing any signs of slowing down. In fact, you know, first half of the season, I think he's probably my MOP. Like, the guy has been unbelievable. But he isn't young. And is he going to have an increased workload now to try and, you know, cover up? You got a younger quarterback, a far more inexperienced quarterback in there. How much do they lean on him? And how does that work out when you get to the end of the season and the playoffs?
I need to pause because now we got him. We're
perfect.
Going to the West Coast. Mr. Furious, number 56, David Benefield, joining us on video. There he is from his car. He's looking so good. Welcome, Dave. Good morning. How are you?
It's lousy weather in Vancouver right now. It's gray. It's raining. This isn't summer, and I'm bummed. I think I lost you. Did you hear me?
Damn it.
I think you lost. I can't hear you.
Something's happened with his audio volume. Look, he's coming through.
Okay, I hear you now.
Okay, you got us now. Okay, good, Dave. Let's start with the BC Lions, if you don't mind. A lot of things to go through with you this morning on this chat, but the BC Lions at 1-8, did you see this coming?
No, not at all, because, I mean, Ed's got tons of experience. I mean, he understands football tradition, winning tradition, whether it's back from the USC days, Eskimo, his time with the Eskimos. I mean, that's a lot of knowledge. So to me, this is a one-off. I mean, this is, okay, we'll fix everything. We'll try to finish strong, and then we'll go from there.
You guys jump in anytime. What are the stories, David, for you through 10 weeks in the CFL this season? To us, it looks like a thrill a minute, aside from the 1-8 BC Lions. What's got you the most jazzed up about the CFL?
I mean, truthfully, if the Lions aren't playing well, that's tough. But the best story, I think the best story is the Thespians. The Thespians in Montreal coaching, and they're doing so great right now with, you know, when you've got Kahari Jones, Flash Gordon there, those two are actors. I just wanted you to know that. They are actors. I've been with Kahari. I've watched him act in his past. I did a class with him in Winnipeg one time, and he was amazing on a cold read. I mean, he absolutely killed a cold read. So we've talked about it before, and it's just when I see him, I just shake my head and go, dude, I thought you're going to be acting, not coaching. And it's funny watching their team. They're a younger looking team. They feel young. They play with an emotion that's great. And I think that comes from the top. I mean, it's good to see what Vernon Adams is doing. I mean, how many ankles can that kid break as a scrambling quarterback? I mean, center, midfield, wherever. He's amazing. And his knowledge of the passing game. I mean, I think we all sleep on Eastern Washington because it's Eastern Washington. They're not a Power Five, but just having an offense like that, you learn that offense, and then he played for Chip. I mean, that's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of run pass option offense, a lot of spread offense, a lot of air raid type tendencies, and he's doing great right now.
David, I'm exactly with you. I thought about the Thespian thing and also the fact that he was doing color on CBC. I thought he wanted to be a broadcaster, and all of a sudden he's killing it as a head coach, and I'm just cheering him on just like you because he's such a great guy. Now, something jogged in my memory. You are a must-follow, particularly on Facebook. That's where you put your thoughts out. As zany as they are, yeah. I'm following very closely, David. You may or may not have known that. You said the other day, you asked your Facebook friends, what's it going to take to make the CFL sexy? And I never really read the comments. What was the reaction to that? What kind of answers did you get?
Well, on my new platform, it seems like, since I was also a budding broadcaster. I don't know what happened, but I just see it like, I know it happened, but I don't know, too much personality for them at the time, I guess. I think with the CFL, to get the CFL sexy, we have to peel back just the years of playing guys as just marginal talent, you know, because we've got too many guys that go south and have memorable careers, you know, and that just tells me we need to rethink what we're doing, because the kids aren't buying into it. You know, our demographic's getting older. We're not going out getting the young kids. We don't want to talk about how great anyone is and the way that it's deserved. I mean, Rod, if I go home to LA, as horrible as USC and UCLA are, you still have a reason to go to the game to see the guy that they're saying is going to be the next great Pac-12 All-American or All-American, or will be playing on Sundays. We've got to promote our guys a whole lot better. I mean, we've got commercials and ads where we don't even use our players.
Mm-hmm.
I 100%, you know? So, I 100%
so
agree.
At some point, we've got to get off this lunch pail. They work at the factory and then they go to the practice thing. That's not sexy. That's not sexy at all. Even Mike O'Shea told me one time, 1,000 years ago, back in the pre-internet days, we were both standing on the field and he goes, Dave, in Toronto, these guys don't want to see anybody playing for $75,000. That's what Mike told me. And I was like, but it's great football. Yeah, it is. I mean, how many Cam Wakes do we have to produce before people go, oh, you know what? CFL's cool. It's got some great, it's a great game. It's a different game. It's a great game. But we don't want to buy in as media. We don't want to buy in as fans, because there's a disconnect between young and old. You know, it's just, we got a lot going on, but someone needs to just put it down and go, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to do. And this is how we're going to hype our players. And that's where we have to go.
Couldn't agree more.
Else.
Bravo. There's the bravo, David. I'm with you 100% on that. Now, you guys got more football questions.
Well, I don't know if I have a question as much as this Marshall Hamilton. I want to pass on a compliment. In the short time that you were on TSN broadcasts, I loved you. And because I love your outspoken. And you use the comment, too much personality. And I'm not asking you to tell the story, because there's probably stuff you can or can't tell. But I'm the type of person that's always prided myself on being outspoken. I'm going to call a spade, whether it was in my HR career or whether it's in, you know, the work that I do in broadcasting. And I think Rod's got his hand slapped probably for many, many years because, you know, you can't say that, or no, you have to always predict the Saskatchewan Roughriders are going to win because that's who you work for. And I don't respect organizations that don't allow their people to speak freely. If you disagree, you disagree. So I just want to say, I really loved your outspoken personality. Too much personality. I disagree with that comment, but love to see you back doing it somewhere.
Well, you know what? I appreciate it. But if you look at the NFL right now, NFL Network is personality driven. Mm-hmm. One of my fraternity brothers actually is the big cheese down there, Dave Singer. We're fraternity brothers from Northridge. He's an executive producer, I believe, there. So it's a personality-driven league. I mean, TV is entertainment. What you guys are doing is entertainment. And for us to shy away from the entertainment part of it with our broadcasters, our analysts, we're missing the boat, and we're missing young fans. Yep. Because they're buying into this more so than the 90s. I mean, when it was zines and bootleg VHS tapes. I mean, think about it. We got two guys on TSN right now that are really doing nothing more than borrowing the mid 90s of ESPN's greatest broadcasters. I mean, think about it. It's, you guys didn't get to see it much, but I did. I was watching ESPN, watching SportsCenter 11 o'clock. It was the show. And we have guys that are borrowing that now, and people still want to shy away from it.
And here's a couple of examples that you'll relate to. I mean, I'm a little older generation, but I mean, I grew up watching NFL football with John Madden, and I grew up watching Howard Cosell. I mean, you want to talk about people. Howard Cosell didn't know anything about football, but he had personality, and he wasn't afraid to call a spade, and people would show up to see what him and Dandy Don would say because they were just so out there with their comments, and that's what put Monday Night Football on the map.
Oh yeah, exactly. And we don't really have that, and we don't really have players that sort of transcend the CFL right now. And I don't know if we're afraid of that, but we shouldn't be, because if you have players that are, I remember Montreal walking down the street pregame, that evening, the day we landed, and some guy jumps out of literally out of a doorway, and I thought we were going to go to blows because he called me by my name. I was like, oh, here we go. You know, but he was like, can't wait to watch you play. And I'm like, just continued our walk. But it was weird that I was recognized in Montreal, which I consider the hippest place in Canada by far, you know, but it was like, it was good to know that we were making inroads into these different areas. And I think that's what we have to do. We really have to push our players. Our players have to want to do it, and they got to understand that this is part of the gig. This is what you do.
Well, it's kind of what we're doing here with this show, David. Obviously, you've been following it, and it's been so much fun. And we're our own bosses, and the viewership's growing and growing and growing. And I think we have something here. But Derek, you go ahead.
I just wonder, David, is this a marketing challenge or is this a scouting challenge? Because I mean, I remember back in the mid '90s or the early '90s. You know, Doug Flutie comes in. Here's a guy that's, you know, won a Heisman, or Rocket Ishmael comes in, a big ticket guy. Guys like yourself, these personality guys who were college stars that you could watch on a Saturday. So does it become a marketing department to really get the players out there, or does it become a scouting thing to get some of these big name guys up? Vernon Adams, in my opinion, and I'm a college football kind of dork, is a guy that you could market. I mean, he did play at Oregon. He played at that very exciting offense under Chip Kelly, but yet, you know, they don't really draw that comparison, and they don't really pump him up.
Well, you're right, and we should be talking all about the Oregon Day. I mean, even though the Eastern Washington days were just as exciting, but the right. Oregon days, they've got the cash. I mean, like, for instance, the Rough Riders Stadium should be talked about and seen as much as possible. It should flood my IG. I mean, it should flood my Instagram. It should flood everything, because it is the state of the art, and it's what it should be, what professional football needs to be for this new generation of athletes. Because think about it, guys, you see what Clemson did, you know what Oregon has, you know what Bama has, and all these schools. We were at the UCLA football camp for my son, and it was amazing. They've got such a nice facility, but they said to me, Dave, we can't keep up with all these other schools with all this property and money. You know, we're already outdated. We're 2 years old.
Jeez.
You know, because if you want the bling, and these guys are dropping $50, $60, $75 million on a sports facility, but that's what the kids are expecting. And if we bring that with us, we're in trouble. And also, we also have to bring, like, we have a whole 90s rod of players that were amazing, that did amazing things. Like, I heard, I think it was Mark Cuban saying, if Larry Bird had the same internet following as a Dirk Nowitzki, Larry Bird would be a god. But because he doesn't have that internet following of highlight films going out there, he's nowhere near Dirk. But all of us who know sports know Larry's a god. Beyond Dirk. You know, so we have to understand this, and we can't stay stuck and this is how we used to do it, or this is how we did it in hockey, because hockey's a distant third in sports world. So we got to keep up with the A's, the NCAAs, the NFLs, and find a space that fits our pocket, but the imagination, because we got creatives. We got great creative people. Like, look at the writer stuff. Some of the writer stuff that I see on Instagram is beautiful. Hamilton has amazing stuff. Toronto, you know, they do amazing stuff. The Lions came out with a great marketing, great marketing package this year. I mean, the faces, it was like kind of like iTunes meets the Raisins. I mean, it was very hip, and it's the sharpest thing I've seen them do. The uniforms aren't great, but I think the marketing, the look of it all was sweet. They did a great job. Creative did a great job.
I thought the Lions, they won the offseason in marketing. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Job.
I've said it many times. But here's the funny thing. David Benefield with us, Mr. Furious. Landon writes in from Kamloops and says, this guy knows his stuff. Keep it up, man. So it's like the younger generation doesn't even know who some of these guys from the 90s and early 2000s are. But David, we'll do this a lot more with you if you're cool with that. And you do have a lot of fans out here in the prairies. You also know that. So can you just update people in your life? Obviously, you got a son in football. What's up since the last time we talked?
Well, Rod, I saw you on my Facebook with these beautiful women. I was like, Rod's going to get in trouble dating these younger women.
Right.
Boy, and then it turned out that it's your wife, you know?
Yep.
So I was like, okay, that's safe.
Smooth.
Thank God, Rod, because I didn't want to have to come bail you out, you know?
Again.
But, it's a long drive, late night. But my son's gone to the dark side. He's a quarterback. He did really well at UCLA camp, and he did really well throwing in Southern Cal with the California kids. I'm a coach at Vancouver College with Ron Turner, and he's the coordinator. Of course, Todd Burnett, our 20th year for Todd Burnett at Vancouver College. So it's great. He's an Eastern Washington alum, a quarterback too. So that's a good thing. And I work for I'm a wholesaler for Dealer's Choice. We're a subsidiary of Beacon Roofing Supply, and I'm pretty much all over. My territory is British Columbia, so I drive a lot.
Big territory.
I cover ground like a big linebacker that I was.
And a darn good one. Three-time All-Star, by the way,
guys.
David David Benefield. We could go on a long, long time. Gives you a lot of time to listen to this show, David, so I hope that you can. We'll let you go, but thanks for this. You shook some trees today, which I think is great, and have a great rest of the day, my man. Stay close.
Rod, thank you, and keep doing what you're doing, and I only shake those trees because the CFL gave me my opportunity, and you have to make sure it stays on path and keeps getting better. But you guys keep doing what you're doing down there at the Riders. Keep leading the rest of us out of the darkness with the great facilities and the heart and the emotion, all right?
Good stuff. We will try. Thank you, guys. David Benefield. Look at that guy. Look at that smile, man. That is a winner right there. We are, however, way over an hour one, so we got to take a pause.
But that was A+, right there.
That was so good. Well, he's the best.
Yeah.
We took far too long to get him on, but hopefully not as long for the next appearance. We'll be back in hour two. Who do we got? Dwight Anderson and Marco Iannuzzi. That's all coming up. More with Derek Myers and Marshall Hamilton. Canada's most watched Facebook live show is The Rod Peterson Show. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Employee pricing is back. These are all pre-owned vehicles. They all have an employee price.
Get this certified pre-owned 2018 Chevy Equinox LT all-wheel drive for only $24,998 plus tax. Or check out this certified pre-owned 2018 Jeep Compass Limited 4x4 for just $28,750 plus tax. We have over 40 low-mileage Jeeps in stock at Canada's largest GM-certified pre-owned retailer.
You pay what we pay!
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.